Oh, yeah. Here we go with hour number two, my friends, on a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to our friends at Waste Pro. What are they doing? They're caring for our community. I care for our community, too. So does Greg.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning and welcome. Gators big win, 66-21. First half, not completely impressed by all that. Still, you got to get things warmed up and greased up, and by the second half, the Gators were rolling. It's FAU. It's not nearly one of our top challenges at all that we're going to see this season, but it's the perfect kind of a warm-up game, and that's what we needed, and we needed some explosion on offense, and I think we found that, and we're going to just keep on rolling. We're going to take this good feeling, and we're going to take it for what it's worth, and be happy. And football season is officially underway, and the SEC had a great showing. I think all the SEC teams won. Again, very few had any real challenges, but still, you didn't have any upsets either. So that's a good sign. And, you know, I talked about the Houthis earlier. Still seem to be a little bit busy, considering the fact that we've put real economic strains on Iran, and they've got to pay these guys. So how are they paying them? Sounds like maybe somebody's floating them. You know, one of these wealthy, you know, Iranian types, certainly somebody who's in the terrorist business. You know, they don't actually get active in the business. They run the show. They're like the CEOs, and a lot of them do live in Yemen. So it's interesting that they're still active and they've been attacking Saudi Arabia. But then Yemen's saying, now, wait a second, Saudi Arabia is attacking us. Oh.
Okay.
Yemen's Iran-backed Houthis on Monday accused Saudi Arabia of carrying out airstrikes around the country, including the deadly bombardment of a prison, as the rebels press an offensive to seize territory near the smaller part of the strait, the Bab al-Mandab Strait. So this is, I knew that Saudi Arabia, I thought that they would get involved at some point heavier than they initially had, and it appears that may be the case now.
I just want to know how you got that part of the strait named after you. That's self promotion. I get it, but
you got to know people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got to. The problem is, you know, the Bob parts usually, you know, Al Kabob and Al Shabab and all those
kebab.
Stuff.
Yeah, right.
You're not things I necessarily want to be associated with for sure. You still have Hezbollah. Active in Lebanon, not nearly as active as they were. The IDF's really, you know, clamped down and done a great job there. But they haven't called it quits, apparently. And although they are less and less threatening, and even that information is coming from the Israelis. So, you know, that's a good thing. And then we have the midterm coming up. This is not time to take a time out and go, you know what, I've been real busy. I've been going to, you know, all the elections like a good boy, and whew, I'm just plumb worn out. So I think I'm just going to, you know, kick back on the old lazy boy, put my feet up and say, you know, I'm going to let this one go. I'm kind of irritated with Trump. He got us in this foreign entanglement. The gas is kind of high. I don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of irritated. And so, yeah, I'm going to sit it out. That kind of attitude is not going to lead to better things. If you're irritated with Trump now, you would be further irritated if we don't ever really get things settled with Iran. And that's the past 47 years. We haven't had a president even willing to deal with that. Now we have one that is. I get it. I don't want foreign entanglements, but I don't want mushroom clouds in my backyard. Okay. And remember, there's Americans all over the world. So if you feel insulated here in the U.S., well, they don't have a ballistic missile that'll go this far. You're right. Not yet. But we already know they have active ones that can go 2,500 miles. Hope you're not on your European vacation if that, you know, if and when that occurs. And, of course, you know, they'll immediately go after Israel, one would think.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got that to keep in mind. Anyway, bottom line, the midterms, you've got to give Trump a chance to finish what he started. And it'll be very, very difficult for him to do that and get any other, things dealing with, say, the economy done. And things are definitely changing. I mean, there are very few economists now that are, you know, saying that things are not going well. You'll get a few here and there. But by and large, the greater agreement is things are going well and the future looks bright. The investment coming in, the manufacturing sector is even better than the experts anticipated, almost double what the expectations were. So we're heading into a sweet spot here, much like we were in Trump's first go around, right? What happened? COVID happened. That's the other kind of fear I have in the back of my mind. The Chinese are not happy with Trump. They don't want him in there. They know that with Trump at the helm, America is strong. They want to beat America. He's an impediment to that. So how would the Chinese vote in the midterms? They wouldn't vote for Republicans.
No.
So, yeah, whose side you on? You're a commie or you're an American? That's up to you, right? With less than 2 months to go until the midterm, Trump and Republicans gather in Texas this week for the first ever GOP midterm convention as they aim to energize the party's base to turn out in key races that will determine if Republicans keep control of Congress. Critically important, obviously. Now, they do hold large nominating conventions during presidential elections year, both Republicans and Democrats. But Trump, a year ago, floated the idea of a similar gathering ahead of the midterms, a showcase of, all the signature policy achievements that he and the Republicans have produced over the last 2 years. It would be like a pep rally, which is very much like a convention leading up to a presidential election. It does fire up the base of each party. Right. I think that this is a brilliant move by President Trump. He has to get people excited. I'll be honest. I never really understood why the numbers are what they are when it comes to midterms, how people, just decide to sit it out. Especially it happens historically when the guy you voted for is the president.
And they do this consistently, which makes it even more confusing. They either don't vote or they turn on the person that they voted for.
Yes. And both parties apparently do it. And yeah. It's bizarre. It's like, do you realize how large the ship is that we call the United States? You've heard the old phrase, you can't turn it around on a dime. Mm-hmm. And 4 years is not that long of a period of time when you're dealing with this massive ship that we call the USA. To get that ship to turn in a more positive direction, to start to actually feel like most Americans are reaping the rewards of that, nothing happens instantaneously, just like it does with any kind of investment. You have to be patient. If you open up a business and you expect it to be profitable within 3 weeks, chances are you're not a good businessman and you're not going to last very long. That's the truth. Well, Americans tend to be impatient. And if we don't see real changes right away, then all of a sudden we start to complain.
Uh-huh.
We're complainers to begin with, kind of. Americans tend to do that because we generally have had things so good. So when things don't go so well, it kind of sticks out. So we need to be patient and we need to back this president because we all agree his policies are sound.
Right.
You don't like what's going on in Iran and you don't like paying more for gas. Everybody feels the same way. But other than that, there still is a tremendous difference between the policies of Republicans and the policies of Democrats.
So, Bob, what if we had a way for people to like vent and complain about all those things?
We would have something like, what's bugging you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we do,
Uh-huh.
I just had an idea.
What's that?
Let's do a segment next called What's Bugging You?
Let's do it now.
All right, and it's brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Call now, 877-975-9825, and do it now. Yeah. Nobody wants a bug in their pie hole. Pah! You gag on that. It's not good for you.
Mm-mm.
Good morning and welcome, my friends, and happy Trash Talking Tuesday. Thanks to Waste Pro, caring for our community. Yep, it's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's time for you to call in. Air it out. Get it off your chest. We call it What's Bugging You. It's brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Don't be one of those. Call in now. 877-975-9825. Let's go to Kay. Good morning. What's bugging you?
Well, the fake president we had all those years, destroying everything that Trump wanted to do, he had a fake birth certificate. He had a fake wife who was a fake female. They had fake daughters. And this whole thing was perpetrated upon us as a scam. He appointed fake judges who are not judges, they're activists. He has a fake Supreme Court justice who never should have gone there, and a fake patent on him. The plant that will save this country. I want it all dissolved because he was a fake. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kay. Yeah, and on that note, King Barry and his legacy does live on. You mentioned that perfectly when you talk about the judges, and that's the legacy. Now think, people on the left are so more radical now, so much more than even Obama was then. What happens if they get the presidency? And what kind of legacy will they leave behind? All right, let's go to Mark. What's bugging you?
Hey, Bob and Greg, good morning. What's bugging me is, like, these people like the Democrats, like Maxine Waters in her interview about a month ago, where they pretend to be all surprised and shocked and disgusted at the Democrat Socialists of America. I think she was lying through her teeth. These people love anybody who can join under their big, bad, inclusive tent. And so I think she was lying and stuff.
You know, there's a lot of alliances when it comes to the Democrats, the left, the socialists that they're in with. Muslims are part of that. But also like the LBTG rated PG-13. I don't know, that whole thing.
The letters, people.
They're, it's like, what a disparate group.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they all band together to help each other out. But, you know, at some point, not all those groups are going to get along with the other groups. Right now, they have the common enemy, Trump and conservatism. But if they do get power, that's the one thing. You think they're all just going to get along? No way. It's going to get downright nasty. Hey, call in now, please. 877-975-9825. And let's go to Tom. What's bugging you?
My confusion is bugging me. I don't know whether to love the fact that Michael Norvell, that incompetent moron, that Napier class coach of jackass, is still there leading Florida State, which I'm a Gator for 40 years, so I kind of laugh about it, or feel so sad for my Seminoles that we want more of a challenge. But I guess I'll just vote to keep Norvell and keep the Seminoles down and go Gators.
Yeah, that was impressive. 66-21. Gators won. FAU first half, you know, just trying to get all the pieces together,
right.
and defense was not as solid as we hoped, but the second half we were strong on offense, very strong on defense, and the outcome was a great one, and I think this sets them up perfectly for the next game, and we are going to root for our Gators. Go Gators, indeed.
Well, Greg, we had some great insight, too, you know, on Friday with a guest on the show, you know, talking about Coach Summerall, kind of his intent, his goal, get out there, hit, you know, get that momentum early on. And, you know, again, can you do all of that game one? You're going to certainly try, but overall it turned out pretty well, I'd say.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you know, finger up in the air, licking it, and catching which way the wind is blowing. I would say that they definitely that he this game won him some goodwill.
Yes.
I think going into this, people were on board and in favor of this coach. And let's give him our full support and just hope for a great season, right? That's what we want. Hey, coming up at 8:05, so that's not too long, what, 30 minutes or so? We're going to talk to Gilchrist County Sheriff Bobby Schultz right here on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Come on, pump it up. 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. 7:35, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Gators win 66-21 over FAU. FSU lost 27-24 against Southern Methodist University, and they're ranked. They're in the top 20, SMU was. And they had power outages. They had problems with the game. They had, even when they got the power back on, they still had communication issues, apparently, you know, with the coaches and stuff. So it added a bit of difficulty there. But, yeah, look, it was a tough game for FSU to begin with, you know, on paper. But, yeah, FSU fans, hey, you know, we can all relate, can't we? We have programs, great programs in the state, and we have all definitely seen the highs of highs and the lows of lows, and it's the nature of the beast. And I'm not a hater. I joke about, you know, of Florida State. Not, you know, not everybody's kids can get into Florida. Look, I'm sensitive to that. All right. I mean, when you're gifted a massive IQ from your father, I mean, you know, odds are in your favor.
See, okay, here's Bob Rose. Here's the line. That was over the line right there.
Well, you know, I figure if I cross the line so far, then people will think, oh, he's joking. It's done with a sense of humility.
Oh.
But people like you, Greg, are on to me. So that's a problem.
Just a little bit, yeah.
You have to kind of pretend like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, oh, no, Bob, you're absolutely right.
I thank you, sir.
Yes.
Right back at you.
Well,
hey, you're going to like this one. A New Jersey gun shop owner.
Yeah.
One of the heroes who jumped in to duct tape an unruly airline passenger, identified as New Jersey gun range owner, who gave the nutbag a blunt wake-up call during the racist and homophobic debacle. Richard Lennox, 53, of the Gun for Hire shop in Woodland Park, traveling aboard American Airlines Flight 618 from Dallas to Newark on Thursday night when Arthur Lane Lundeen, 67, went on his violent meltdown.
Ooh.
I don't love to fly, and he just looks at me and goes, we're all going to die. This plane is going to crash. And I said, you're going to meet a couple of new friends when we land. Olenek was traveling with one of his employees, Juan Meja, a retired cop, as they headed back from a gun expo in Reno. During the flight, Lundeen allegedly began flinging racist and homophobic slurs at a black flight attendant, with a man accused of then attacking other passengers during the meltdown.
Once
it turned violent, Meja and Olenek, they rushed in to protect the other passengers, hold the suspect down, as flight attendants ran to grab tape and zip ties to hold him down. So they duct taped him.
I love it.
Is that awesome?
Of course, now the left got to call for common sense duct tape control. So, you know.
Well, yeah. but I thought, hey,
that's how you
subdue someone. And that is why every time you're at the hardware store, what do? You buy a roll of duct tape. Because you're never going to find the one that you bought 3 weeks ago. But, yeah, I always say, you know, duct tape, a ball peen hammer, and a pair of vice grips, you can fix, you know, pretty much anything.
Oh, yeah.
But now that's, I thought you'd like that story.
Oh, I like that one.
Listen to this. Good news economically. Lefties' heads are popping off. We love this. Younger workers who are not college graduates are seeing one of their lowest unemployment rates in recent history, according to the Wall Street Journal and an institute called Burning Glass that puts this together. And this shows an extremely strong job market for those between 22 and 34 years old without diplomas from higher education institutions. This historically low unemployment rate among this demographic, which rivals lows, goes all the way back to 2003, breaks with the rates of unemployment among college-educated peers in the same age window, per the analysis. So that's great news. It is also a reasonable dialogue to have in terms of your child going to college or not. Okay.
Yeah.
In my generation, there wasn't this hardcore push as much to push your kids into college. Okay. Because where I grew up, there were opportunities in the auto industry, for just for one example.
Sure.
So wages, you could come out of high school and you could find a job that paid a reasonable wage. And then if you, you know, work hard, work there long enough, whatever, get promotions and stuff, you know, you could have a nice middle class life working for the auto industry. So I think in my particular area, it just wasn't, there wasn't as big a push. Mm-hmm. Now then, now fast forward, now I'm a parent. I'm like going, oh no, my children are not going to slack like I did. We're not playing that game, you know? And I said, look, you're going to go to college. But I said, that doesn't mean you have to necessarily, you are going to, or you have to use your degree. I want it so that you'll have more choices, more opportunities. You could find something else you want to be. Okay, let's say, you know, you're going to be a plumber. And you got two hardworking plumbers that are, you know, climbing the ladder. And, you know, one plumber has a degree. And that might be the only thing separating you from that next promotion versus the other guy. And I'm just using that as an example. But that's what I wanted. I wanted them to have more opportunities. Well, I think some kids go to college, even back in the day, it doesn't matter. Going to college because it's sort of what the expectation is. You're going to go to college, but they're not even sure what they want a degree in. And then some of them make the mistake of getting degrees that are not usable. You know,
happens a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, anything that's like science based, biology, chemistry, medicine, engineering, you know, business degrees, all of that. Those you're going to find a decent job with that kind of degree. When they start getting into the, you know, the liberal arts and all that, you really kind of pigeonholed yourself basically into probably teaching.
Right.
In many cases, more than anything else. And by the way, not that there's anything wrong with that at all. That's great. You know, we need great teachers. But a lot of them don't want to be teachers, but then they get a degree that's not really a skill set that's being heavily demanded in the workplace. And therefore, there's less job opportunities. And when they do come up, they pay less.
Can't we just sit around and talk about philosophy and get paid, Bob?
You and I do it every day, but we are, you know, we're the outliers.
That's true.
And I'm not even talking about my philosophy there. No, but it's, yeah, you've got to get a sellable skill.
Right.
And that's where, you know, parents come in and counselors come in, and there should be some help and some guidance on that. But now, in this getting to my point, you don't have to go to college to find a good job in this current market. Now, you still have to have some skills, or at least it would help you. The trades are a great example of that. You know, getting into being an electrician or a plumber, a carpenter, you know, these things, it's exploding. And the demand is very, very high. And they need a whole bunch of new people, new blood coming into that. And so there are plenty of opportunities. And these days versus when I was younger, these positions, well, historically, I mean, plumbers and people with trades historically have gotten paid pretty good. But now, even in, you know, the South and without a union necessarily, people can still make a really good living. And so that's a great thing. And then on top of it, you've got Trump wanting to bring it all back, bring back manufacturing, and he is. So you're going to have even more opportunities moving forward. So I think this is great when you look at those numbers. And I think what it is there's a little bit of an entitlement going on. So some people are living at home longer. They can't find the job. It's not they can't find a job. They can't find a job they want.
Right. Right.
And that's different, whereas I think a generation or two going back, we had a work ethic first. Like, you know, there was no two ways about it with my dad. Like, you've got to get a job. Like, right. You just can't. It just life doesn't exist without you having a job. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the mentality. And, you know, luckily I inherited that. But I think there's too many kids today that are kind of being coddled. Well, you know, he'll find his way. You know, he's still struggling to figure out who he is and what he wants to do. Now, hey, that's all well and fine till you're 26, 28. Okay, even 30. 30 to me is the cutoff. If the kid's living at home at 31, unless there's other extenuating circumstances, you are not doing them any favors at all. That's when if the real love becomes tough love. If you really love them, you've got to toughen up. But hopefully you've planted the seeds long before that.
Like that phrase in that movie, failure to launch, comes to mind.
When failure, yes. You know,
they're sitting on the launch pad. They're just not going anywhere.
Yeah. All right. So motivate your children accordingly. But also, you know, you can't be too rough on them because they're going to pick your nursing home.
Ooh.
Keep that in mind. Mm. All right. I hope everybody is off to a great start, having a great day. I know we're going to connect with Sheriff Bobby Schultz coming up at 8:05. Looking forward to that. More top stories, headlines, it's all coming up. News Talk 97.3, The Sky. If you ain't a gator, you're gator bait. It's back. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 7:50, 10 minutes till 8 o'clock. Shortly after 8 o'clock, we'll talk to Gilchrist County Sheriff Bobby Schultz. That's coming up in a little bit. But Gator Bait, the chant, is back at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. Everybody was fired up. Everybody was loving it. If you don't know the history of that, it was a DB, defensive back, Lawrence Wright, who was credited with kind of making that chant popularized back in 1995. He said, if you ain't a gator, you gator bait, baby.
Oh, yeah.
And the 90s Gators under Steve Spurrier, of course, were huge. And the thing was, you know, apparently, according to some historical stuff, that was not a nice term. It was a racist term. It was basically advertising Florida to folks up north, dangling little black babies over like an alligator. That's disgusting. That's
right.
Despicable. I get that. But I never knew that. And I think 99.9% of the crowd that was cheering for that didn't know what the origins of saying the term gator bait could.
But it doesn't have to necessarily connect. I mean, just because you use the same word doesn't mean it means the same thing.
I agree with you. And the fact the way he said it, if you ain't a gator.
Yes.
So that includes everybody who's not a gator.
Uh-huh.
You're gator bait.
Exactly.
And we know it doesn't mean alligator bait. It means Florida gator bait. In other words,
right.
we're gonna beat your butts on the football field or, you know,
yeah.
whatever the case may be. But yeah, it actually is inclusive. Y'all are gator bait. If you ain't a gator.
Uh-huh. And you would have had African-American gators. So, again, it makes people try too hard to connect something to be offended.
Yeah, and so it disappeared for a while, and now it seems like it has made a return. Maybe there's just a little bit less political correctness.
Nice.
And I'm sensitive to that if it has its origins, but come on, if its origins were so long ago, 100 years ago, and most people today have not an inkling of all that taking place, The only thing that you serve to do by being ultra sensitive to it is you just want to stir up what was a not a good time in America, especially for African Americans. So what purpose does that serve to do that?
And it wasn't the origin based on the guy who's starting the chant.
Exactly. Exactly right. So, Gator Bait,
oh, yeah.
The chant, is back.
Nice.
And, yeah, I love it. I remember when they first said, Ken Fox, that he was the guy in charge, and, you know, he took it away. Because, but that back, you know, just a few years ago, there was this ultra-sensitivity about everything. You know, when did it become the United States of the easily offended? Oh. You know?
Yeah.
It's like you have to dig and you have to look at things. And I'm not sure, but I think that offends me. In fact, yes, I'm offended.
Or you're offended for someone else.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst. Yeah. Isn't that what we see, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Probably the people that were offended by that gator bait were probably wealthy, white, liberal people.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I know.
Yeah, but most people don't know the history, but in this case, like you said earlier, it doesn't even apply.
No, it's not
you can't.
Connected.
And we're tired of people stealing words so that you can't use them for how they really could be applied to all different things. You know, I remember watching the Flintstones in a gay old time. You know, that was wholesome family fun.
Yeah.
The gay old time today, it's like, better not put that on your search engine.
There'll be a parade for that. Yeah.
Yeah. And wouldn't that parade end up being a drag anyway?
Wow. Somebody enjoyed their day off.
Yeah. All right. I mentioned this earlier that Trump and Vance, apparently they're both heading to Texas. They are going to put on the first ever GOP midterm convention. With the idea is usually you do this leading up to a presidential election. You know, you have the big convention, and those are huge, lots of coverage, and it fires up the base. Well, somebody had the brilliant idea to say, hey, we need to do this for the midterm. If ever there was a need for a rally, this midterm would be it, and they're doing it. And I think it's brilliant, and hopefully it will get the base fired up. And really, they're doing it at the American Airlines Center in downtown Dallas. This is going to be Wednesday and Thursday evening sessions. Apparently, Trump is going to speak on both nights, deliver the keynote address on the first night, and then Vice President J.D. Vance will headline the second night. So it'll be like, this is the present, these are the policies, and then when J.D. Vance gets his shot, hey, he could be the future.
Nice.
And it will. It'll fire everybody up. And guess who needs maybe a little firing up? The folks in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because this guy, this Tallarico guy, he is a, you know, I've used the term loosely with a lot of them, you know, a nutbag or, you know, not all there or whatever you want to say. He is definitely, well, if I was being complimentary, like if he was a relative of mine and I was not trying to bash him, I'd say he's a bit quirky.
That is the nicest way you could put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a little quirky. Do you want him to represent the state of Texas in the United States Senate? I think if you really look at it and all the things that he has said, you probably would not.
Now, you're not going to send your crazy uncle to the Senate. Just you may love him or something, but you know. He's not going to represent.
You can't be like a talk show host where you want to send somebody kooky and crazy just so you have sound bites every day. It's not fair.
It's true to the rest of the country.
Unless we have like a huge majority in both the House and the Senate and we have the White House.
Yeah.
Then you could put some people in there to spice it up.
A couple, yeah.
You know, let's get spicy. We need more kooks in there. But nope, the margins are way too slim to play that game right now. That is for sure. Wow, time is a-flying. So we're looking forward to a conversation with Sheriff Bobby Schultz. That is coming up next right here on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy Trash Talking Tuesday, 97.3 The Sky.